All right, test. Cool. Good morning, church. And an extra special welcome to you if you're joining us online this morning. I hope you've all been well. I'm really excited about what I have to talk about today. So let's just dive right into the next chapter of our sermon series, Meeting I Am. So today we're exploring Jesus' third I Am statement, which is... Yeah, the gate. Cool. Can you tell which picture? Yeah, there you go. The gate for the sheep. So this and next week's statement, which is, I am the good shepherd, are pretty closely linked. And the keen-eyed among us might have noticed from the memory verses that both this and next week's statements are found in John chapter 10. And only a few verses apart. And they're linked because... they both use shepherding imagery to teach us something about Jesus. John 10 is full of shepherding imagery. In fact, the whole Bible is full of shepherding imagery. We see it used throughout the Old Testament. For example, most people probably know, Old and New Testaments, for example, most people probably know Psalm 23, which says, the Lord is my shepherd, cool, I shall not be in want. Have you ever wondered why? What makes the shepherd such a mainstay in Scripture? You see, when it comes to leadership, the Bible has one preeminent metaphor, the shepherd. Those tasked with leading are described as shepherds, and those who are being led are described as sheep. It's a powerful metaphor because it subverts our idea of what it means to be a leader. It teaches us that, biblically speaking, the ideal leader isn't an authoritative king who dominates, nor is it a powerful commander who rules, and neither is it a charismatic visionary who appeals. Biblically speaking, a leader is simply the humble shepherd who cares for their flock. Right? A biblical leader is a shepherd who cares for their sheep. And now next week, we'll be looking at Jesus, the good shepherd, who shows us what it means to be a true leader. But before we get to that, this week, I want us to first look at this dynamic from the other side, from the point of view of the sheep who are being led. And I believe that this is something that Jesus, as the gate for the sheep, has to teach us. So, in John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep. What does that mean? Well, it's pretty straightforward. The gate is a symbol of protection. I am the gate tells us that Jesus is our protection. In verse 2, it says, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So the gate, we see, keeps out those who aren't meant to be allowed in, and it lets in the one who is known. We also see in verse 9 that the gate is the way to pasture, that is, to security and rest. It brings to mind that imagery from Psalm 23, right? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And so the gate provides access to rest and safety, keeping out those who aren't meant to be there, and only letting in the one who will care for the sheep. Now, as an aside, this metaphor is something I struggled a little bit with. And I think partly it's because in New Zealand, we're so used to seeing fences and gates everywhere. And the gates that we're used to seeing are fences like this that are so easy to jump over. If I'm thinking of protection, a gate is not the first metaphor that I would think of. And so if you're like me and struggling a little bit with this metaphor, it might help to think of a gate as more like a gate to a city, right? So say Jerusalem is a city on a hill with walls and a gate, and there's no way to jump over that sort of gate, right? But at the same time, we don't want to lose sight of the idea of that green, rich, lush pasture land that the gate is guiding access to. And one way to help us understand that idea a little better is to look at the word refuge in the Bible. The word refuge in the Psalms occurs more than 40 times. When we think of the word refuge, again, we might think of things like strongholds or bastion or a fortress. And that's the picture a lot of Psalms paint. Right? For example, Psalm 59 says, "Deliver me from my enemies, O God, be my fortress. You are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble." Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." And this psalm, by the way, is the inspiration for Martin Luther's famous hymn. Well, I say famous. I hadn't actually heard of it before. "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." And that's a bulwark, if you're wondering. So refuge does have this idea of a castle or a stronghold, but refuge in the Psalms isn't limited to just imposing structural monuments, right? On the other hand, Psalm 61 says, "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower," it also says, "I long to take refuge in the shelter of your wings." Psalm 91, verse 2, says, "The Lord is my refuge and my fortress." But verse 1 says, "I will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." In verse 4, it follows up with, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." And of course, in Psalm 46, Psalm 46 was the inspiration for Martin Luther's hymn. But at the end of Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And so on the one hand, protection, safety, refuge, these things invoke ideas of the strong, the solid, the impregnable. But on the other hand, it reminds us that there is tender love, that there is care and gentleness and compassion to be found in refuge as well. Right, David, when he was still a shepherd, tells this story to King Saul. He says, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep with the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued it from its mouth." So David goes and rescues a sheep from the mouth of a lion. Strength and might, but what do you think he did after he rescued that sheep? Now, I'm thinking maybe it's like what Jesus described in the parable of the lost sheep. When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and takes it home. And so here's why I think we want to know and experience Jesus as our gate. Jesus is our refuge and our rest. Jesus is our refuge and our rest. If you're going through trouble or struggle right now, this is something I believe Jesus wants you to know. That he is here, that he is your gate. He is here to protect you, to care for you, and to be your refuge. He wants you to experience the rest that you can find in him. On the other hand, if God is blessing you with peace and smooth sailing at the moment, then it's all the more reason to use this season of rest as an opportunity to dig deep and take root in your relationship with Jesus, so that when troubles do come, and they will come, that you can stay steadfast in him. But there are different ways to come to know Jesus as your rest, as your refuge. But our passage today highlights one specific way that we can do that. It's listening to the shepherd's voice. Verses 2 and 3 give us the context. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. It continues in verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus very clearly states that the principle by which we can find refuge in him is to listen to his voice, to trust in his voice. In fact, the word refuge is often translated trust in the King James Version. Where the NIV reads, under his wings you will find refuge, the King James reads, under his wings you shall trust. A lot of us have pets, especially dogs. And what happens when you call their name? If they recognize you, if they know you and trust you, they'll come running over. But I remember this one time when I was over at Shirley and Sydney's and their friend had brought their dog over, and no matter how many times I called her name, she wouldn't respond. Right? Why wouldn't that dog respond? Because I was a stranger. She had never met me before. And all I wanted to do was to cuddle her and to take care of her. But because she didn't recognize me, my voice didn't reach her. And so a good question to ask is do you trust when the Lord calls your name? Do you trust him? And just like I was calling, not this puppy, a different puppy, by her name, verse 3 says, Jesus calls each of us by our name. And we've explored many times now how God knows each one of us personally. That even though we are these tiny, limited human beings on this pale blue dot, in this unimaginably vast universe, and yet Jesus knows your name. And he calls you by your name. And that should give us great comfort that the Lord of the universe would know you personally. Now, if for some reason you find that that idea isn't a comforting thought, or you find yourself backing away from God's voice, then this is something you need to be reflecting on. Is there something that makes you afraid of him? Is it because he's a stranger? Is it because you're afraid that he might be angry at you? Or maybe you are angry at him? If it feels like there's a wall between you and the Lord, then that's something to be praying into. Next time you call your pet and they come running over, remember that sense of joy you feel that he or she trusts you, because that's how God feels when he calls us and we run to him. Let's move on to verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. You know, there are two ways to move a flock of sheep. You can drive them from behind, like what a sheepdog would do, or you can do what shepherds in the Middle East do, which is lead them from the front. Now, there's an obvious challenge to leading a flock from the front. How do you make sure that they follow you? And the Bible tells us how. The sheep follow because they know the shepherd's voice. And so a simple extended question here is, do you know our shepherd's voice? Not just do you trust when he calls your name, do you recognize his voice? God loves to speak. In fact, he's always speaking. The Bible is God's word. Jesus is the word. Creation exists because God spoke it into existence. The book of Hebrews tells us that creation continues to exist because Jesus sustains it by his word. Isaiah 55 says that the word of the Lord goes out and will not return empty and will accomplish what he desires. And so God is speaking all the time. And it's crucial that we are tuned in to his voice. And to do that, we need to know what his voice sounds like. So what is it like? And here are a few examples from the Bible. First, his voice inspires fear and awe. In Exodus chapter 19, the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. But we read in the next chapter that when God did that, the people were terrified. God's voice can be so terrifying and awe-inspiring that people think even hearing it is beyond what they can take. Do not have God speak to us or we will die, was their response. But on the other hand, we also read that God's voice can be as still and as soft as a whisper. The prophet Elijah, when he encountered God, this is what happened. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And that was God. Psalm 46, again, reminds us to be still and know that he is God. The disciples, when they were caught in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the raging wind and waves, Jesus speaks, right? God speaks, be still. And it was calm. So God's voice can be as gentle as a whisper as well. And finally, of course, creation speaks as God speaks. All right, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Romans 1, ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible as it is, have been seen and understood through the things God has made. And so creation, too, God speaks through his creation. God can be thunder and lightning. God can be as gentle as a whisper. God speaks through everything we see. And so amongst all of these ways that God speaks, how do we learn to hear his voice? To listen to God? Let's start with the concrete. The Bible. The Bible is the written word of God. I was meant to have my Bible here as a prop. Why is the Bible important to us? Why do we keep saying, read it, memorize it, know it back to front? It's because we believe that the Bible are the actual recorded words of God. You turn to the prophets and you'll notice they always say before a prophecy, hear the word of the Lord, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And so when you familiarize yourself with the Bible, with how God speaks, then you'll start recognizing his voice in your day to day. I remember this time Michael sent an excerpt from a book to the English Ministry Leaders chat. And I was like, there's something about this book that feels really familiar. And I realized later that it was because what he had sent was written by A.B. Simpson, and I'd been reading some of his books that at the time. And so when I read his books, when I read that excerpt, I recognized his voice, so to speak. Right? The same thing happens when you read someone like C.S. Lewis. There's something about the way he writes that's quite distinctive. And so it's not a stretch to see how the same thing happens when we familiarize ourselves with the Bible. Knowing the Bible well means that when God speaks, you'll start noticing the telltale signs of his voice in your day-to-day life. And so when you read your Bible, don't just read it. Meditate on the word. Linger in it when you read. Memorize key verses, so that when you go about your day and God speaks, you start recognizing his voice. How else do we learn to listen to God? Well, another way is to build your relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't just decoration. He lives in every believer because he is your guide, he is your comforter, he is your advocate. Jesus said that everything the Holy Spirit says to us comes from Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit speaks when Jesus speaks. And so ask for open ears and a discerning spirit. The Bible plan I'm reading at the moment, it's called Deeper, and it says this. It says, God is often more interested in revealing who we are than what we should do. He wants us to learn to be in him so that our actions flow from that union. So ask him who you are to him. And as you grow more intimate with him, you'll also be learning to hear his voice. And finally, to listen to God, we can be listening to each other. After all, the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. Right? This is something I admire from the Baptists. In the Baptist churches, the idea that Jesus speaks through every believer is fundamental to their denomination. Right, not just the pastor, not just the elders or the deacons or the leaders, but every member of the church. And so, be listening to each other. Share our testimonies with each other. Ask God what he's been doing in our lives. Our stories and experiences sing of God's voice. When we hear how God has been working in each other's lives, we then become encouraged to step out of our comfort zones, to step out in faith, and to experience God for ourselves. All of these things help us learn to recognize God's voice. Now, I've branched out quite a bit, so let's come back to the verse. It says, his sheep follow because they know his voice. And so desire to know his voice, so that when he leads, you have the courage to trust and follow, like sheep following a shepherd. And so to finish for today, let's rewind back to the idea of the gate. Verses 1 and 8 remind us that the purpose of the gate is to protect us from thieves and robbers. And while verse 10 tells us very clearly that what they do is to steal and kill and destroy. What we've talked about today is how to find refuge and rest in Jesus by recognizing his voice for what it is. And this teaches us how to recognize his voice by what it's not. Anything that takes away your livelihood, anything that steals, kills, and destroys vitality, anything that's not life-giving is not the voice of God. And so this is a good way to be reflecting on what might be some of the things you're listening to that isn't God's voice. What are some of the things you're literally listening to? Things like YouTubers, or influencers, or celebrities, or podcasts, or TV shows, or anything else that you notice is sapping life from you. What are some of the things that Jesus, the gate, wants to keep out of your life that you're instead welcoming in? Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life, and life to the full. Life abundantly, life rich and satisfying, life protected by Jesus, the gate. Life where he calls you by name and bids you to follow to still waters and green pastures. Life within the refuge of his tender, loving care. And so ask the Spirit to reveal to you Jesus' voice. Learn to listen to it and recognize it. And when he calls by name, choose, like the sheep and the shepherd, to follow him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the gate to our lives, that in you we can find refuge and rest.